Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting but not video streaming live here. This is the talkback segment of our program. Once a week, I select an hour just to talk about health, healing, the environment, and the issues that are important to us, but most importantly, opening the phone lines so you have a chance to share your points of view. And my interest is never when people call in to change their minds, to get them to think the way I do, or to correct them, rather to share different perspectives on any given issue. So please feel free to call in. I'm going to be giving you our number in about 5 minutes. I won't take calls for about 20 because I have a lot to share. I'll be talking about what we can do to limit migraine headaches, especially in frequency, some new information from Russell Martin on a very important herb. It's a perennial, and we should be using it. We don't. I'll also give you the latest on blueberries, why they're important, and for all the people over 40 in this audience, how can we enhance our cognitive function? Well, there's a simple nutrient that can do that. And Dr. Julius Gope has shared that with me, and I'll share it with you. Let's begin. I believe that cherries are just one of the most perfect foods. I love the way they taste. I actually like the frozen cherries better than most fresh, unless I'm growing them myself. And that's because by the time a cherry is picked, it's frequently not picked when it's ripe. It's picked just before it's ripe. And then it lasts anywhere from 5 to 10 days before you get it. And you can always tell if something's been ripened off the vine because it doesn't have the natural enzymes, the natural sugars. And that's what provides that wonderful, luscious flavor. And so when they pick cherries and then wash them, sort them, and freeze them immediately within an hour or two, then they're capturing that ripeness. And there, they don't have to worry about transit because they're going to be frozen. So those are only tree ripened. In any case, cherries are great for you. Cherries, cherry juice, cherry concentrate, cherry powder. Here's the latest on this. And it says that cherries are a natural remedy for pain. According to the American Pain Society, at any given time in the United States, nearly one-third of all Americans are suffering from pain, and it's over half of all doctor visits are there to relieve pain. And it's over $150 billion a year that we spend on pain. Now, the good news is that in the next 4 weeks, I will have a brand new book and documentary out on pain. And early on when I was doing the research for the book, I was looking at all the different herbs and foods and functional foods that function in a way to help us, and cherries came up time and again in the research literature. There was a study done at Johns Hopkins University where they found that the tart cherry, the Montmorency cherry, was compared to a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, which I'm absolutely opposed to. I'm opposed to all of them. And here in this study, it was found that the tart cherry significantly reduced pain sensitivity, and at the highest dosage, it was as effective as the drug. But here's the difference, and this is according, quote, the authors. Tart cherries may have a beneficial role in inflammatory pain. Then there was a separate study at the University of Michigan State University, and they found that the active ingredient in cherries, anthocyanins, were found to be equivalent to two common over-the-counter painkillers, COX-1 and COX-2 inhibitors. So that's big. Now, that means that cherry is good for athletes. Why? Because of all the pain that we manifest when we're doing our different types of training, especially long distance training. Because every time you train long distance, anything more than, let's say, 6 miles, and especially if you're up around 10, 12 miles, well, you're absolutely creating pain because you're creating inflammation. You're flooding the body with oxidative stress and free radicals. Now, you've heard me mention this many times, for those athletes, like the great Sam Skinner and Sid Howard and Thelma Wilson, Joan Rowland, these are all some of America's finest, in fact, the world's finest athletes, still competing. And the difference is that they trained holistically. I know because I've worked with all of them. They were all in the Natural Living Running Walking Club for years, and they're vegan, they juice, they take their natural nutrients. And so even though they may be 60 to 85, their body is not that age. Their biochemistry is not that age. That's just their chronological age. Yet if you looked at other athletes that they knew and raced against, they're frequently burned out. Their musculature system is shot. Their mitochondria are deficient. They don't have the energy to do it. They don't have the speed, the tensile strength. And because they never took that nutrition seriously. They believed that all they had to do is just go out there, train hard, and pound. But that's not the way that it works. We have a lot more that we have to do than just going out and racing. So every time you run, every time you power walk, every time you bike, every time you lift weights, you're creating oxidative stress, hence free radicals, hence inflammatory agents. The idea is to take your antioxidants to trap the free radicals so you get the benefit of training and you don't get the negative effects of premature aging. I remember once when I was speaking with Peter Roth and we were speaking with Greta Weitz, and I had helped her overcome some intestinal problems she had. And I said to her, I said, are you doing anything about, you know, slowing down the aging process? And here's probably the greatest woman runner in history. She won 10 New York City marathons, multiple world games. And she looked at me and she just laughed, not realizing the fact that you're fast and strong and you have a period of time in life where there's no one who can compete against you and win doesn't mean that that's going to be a benefit later in life. In fact, later in life, I felt that she looked much older than her chronological age, and she died young. And that's true with a lot of athletes. Just remember, athleticism is great, but it must be balanced with antioxidants. And their cherry juice can come in handy. And the other day I was going up to get my juice, and I ran into an old friend, Barry Farber. In my opinion, one of the greatest broadcasters in American history, and still broadcasting every single day. And his daughter is Celia Farber, and she's an outstanding journalist, investigative journalist. And Barry reminded me of when he had gout and how he couldn't get up off the floor. He was in such pain, and he called me. And I was just about to go on WMCA at that time and do my radio show. And he said, he was on WMCA at the same time as well. And he said, what can I do? And I gave him a remedy. I said, take 500 milligrams of pentothenic acid, and then 2 hours later take it again, but also take 6 ounces of tart cherry juice. And there he had someone in his family running around trying to get this, and it worked. He said it absolutely worked. He said that turned his life around, and he's been into healthy living ever since. Well, true enough, gout, which is a very painful type of arthritis caused by buildup of uric acid in your joints and also in your toes. Well, cherries are phenomenal in getting rid of gout. In fact, each of the studies I've seen where cherries have been used have helped the people where it's been tested. In fact, within 5 hours of eating cherries, urate decreased in blood plasma levels and increased in the urine, which means the body was throwing uric acid out of the body. Also, if you have elevated C-reactive protein, which you do not want, that's a marker of inflammation, that can be decreased with cherries. And finally, fibromyalgia. There was a study at Oregon Health and Science Center where a group of women who had chronic muscle pain with fibromyalgia were evaluated, and they were weak after they exercised. Well, the women drank half of the cherry juice and the other half had a placebo drink that tasted like cherry juice but wasn't for 10 days. The results showed that the cherry juice group enjoyed significant reduction in overall pain. So the takeaway message is this. Both tart and sweet cherries have anthocyanins. Tart cherries have more, much more. They're also lower on the glycemic index, making them, in my opinion, a better choice. Tart cherries are also one of the only known foods of melatonin. And we all know that melatonin is secreted at night and helps our sleep cycle. So whether it's dried, frozen, or in juice or concentrate, make sure you get your tart cherry juice each day. Now, a lot of people who come in to see me frequently have candida. And they've tried everything. And more often than not, they go on the anti-candida diet. They get rid of mushrooms and sugars and alcohol and caffeine in any amount. And all that's good. They should. But it frequently is not enough because it's about building up the immune system, not just overcoming foods that are allergenic or cause candida overgrowth. I'm going to give you a list of things that can help you if you have candida. And some of these can be used individually, or some can be taken all together. So if you have a full-blown candida overgrowth, and a lot of times people won't know they have it, because women historically have associated candida with the kind of cottage cheese discharge out of the vagina. But you can have candida in your blood, in your intestine, if you have flatulence if you have bloating and distension and sometimes explosive bowel movements, that's frequently but not always caused by candida. My number one choice would be oregano oil. Now, why? Because in oregano oil, you have a very concentrated and effective antibacterial agent called phenols, P-H-E-N-O-L-S. They're great for any form of fungal infection and candida overgrowth. If it's a toenail bed that is infected, then oil of oregano can help. And the wild organic oregano oil is very good, especially for candida. You don't need a lot, and you have to dilute it in water. I would say maybe 10 drops in a 16-ounce glass of water would be fine. Another great one that has a particular extract is olive leaf. Now, olive leaf extract is great for fighting all forms of fungus infections in the body, including candida, generally around 1,000 milligrams. Paudarco, P-A-U-D-A-R-C-O, very popular in South America. It's used down there if you have a weakened immune system or if you have a bacterial infection. It has been shown to have anti-candida and antifungal biochemistry. Probably the most universal one would be garlic. Garlic, quite simply, is one of the most perfect foods, especially its antibacterial and antifungal qualities. And you can get liquid garlic, or you can have garlic tablets, or you can eat garlic, have it in your juice, or any other way. Then in Ayurvedic medicine, there's a potent detoxifier that also fights infections of every type in the body. And it is an oil that can be applied topically when needed. And it's called neem, N-E-E-M, neem. I would also add in some apple cider vinegar. Apple cider vinegar with I would use tupelo honey is good and manuka honey is outstanding. Those two together are very good. And it is phenomenal for you because it balances the pH levels of your body and that helps prevent a lot of candida from growing out of control. Generally, one teaspoon is all that you need. You could also put a teaspoon of lemon juice with that as well. Have that with some green tea. Echinacea is right up there. That can help stop colds and flu. It has antibacterial benefits, stimulates the immune system, and fights candida. And then black walnut. Black walnut is powerful in what we call tannins, T-A-N-N-I-N-S, and that can kill fungal overgrowth, and it also kills parasites. So that's good. And finally, I'd round it out with coconut oil, organic cold-pressed coconut oil. Coconut oil is a fatty acid. It's a medium-chain fatty acid. And it's phenomenal for fighting candida bacteria. And any type of fatty acids, like caprylic acid, lauric acid, are potent antifungal agents. Well, working to, I would say, starting 1 tablespoon a day of coconut oil if you have candida, and then start after a week taking 2, and then after a third week take 3. 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, 1 in the evening. And that can help. So all those are things that can make a difference if you have candida, and a lot of people do. And this is what can help them. Now, shifting gears, later this week I'll be doing an in-depth analysis of how a meat based diet is not good for us, and why a healthy vegan diet is. I'll also tell you about an article that I have written and am posting about how we can lower our pulse rate. By lowering the pulse rate, they can help us live a longer life. And I'm going to show you all the scientific studies in the peer-reviewed literature to support that, because right now, a lot of cardiologists and physicians are not encouraging their patients to do enough to lower their pulse rate because they're simply ignorant of the science. Well, I'll explain how, by lowering your pulse rate from an elevated level to a good athletic level, you can be protecting yourself from dying prematurely. And I'll be writing an article on that, and that'll be posted this week. In any case, processed red meat consumption is really bad for you. But if you're a diabetic, it's doubly bad. It can double the risk of developing diabetes if you don't have it. Now, I know that most people have never heard of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, but it's a major journal. And what they found in a recent article is that researchers found that a 50-gram daily serving of processed meat, that's equivalent to about 1 hot dog or 2 strips of bacon, that's all, was associated with a double risk of developing diabetes. They also found that protein from other sources, such as nuts, seeds, and whole grains, reversed the effect. So what does this mean? It means that if you want to prevent diabetes, be on a healthy vegan diet with lots of nuts, pistachios, walnuts, almonds, macadamia nuts, they're all good. Sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, excellent. Chia seeds, great too. Red quinoa, millet, phenomenal. And beans of every type, plus all your starchy vegetables. But let's just say that you're one of the individuals, as most people are, who are eating meat. Only a small percentage of the American population are actually vegetarian, and even smaller still are vegan, and even smaller still are healthy vegan. Hopefully by the end of this year that will change. I'm bringing out a brand new major book and film on both. In fact, they're done. I'm just waiting for the right time to do that, because I have a whole lot of films and books coming out over the next 12 months. 6 books, 6 films, and all important issues. In any case, let's just say that you have a member of your family that they're going to eat meat no matter what. Okay. If we can't suggest reason to them, give them any proof, because frequently when someone's tied into their habits, they don't want to change, then make sure that you give them some nuts and seeds every day to eat. And just say, hey, you know, if you're going to have that, how about having this as well? I know that my brothers loved bologna. I don't know where you grew up, but where I grew up, bologna was just everywhere. They put mustard on bologna, and that's what they'd eat. That, and they'd Spam, bologna, grilled cheese sandwiches, hot dogs, and cheeseburgers, milkshakes, big time. And also where I grew up, we had this unique phenomena where no one ever questioned the quality of our food. Rather, what was questioned was your size. So a lot of people were known based upon their weight, like Big Jim, 285, Big Tom, 266. Isn't it amazing how you, these are real numbers of people who were my friends I worked out with. We didn't have a YMCA. So we made a gym, a bodybuilding and weightlifting gym, and there were about five of us that would work out every day. And we were that time I was 238 pounds, all muscle, same waist I've got today. But, I mean, just really strong. And I didn't eat any meat, but I drank milk, lots of it. I hate to think of how much milk I consumed. But they ate lots of meat. And one of them would, you know, brag about how many pizzas he could eat at a time. I'm talking about entire whole giant pizzas, you know, the type that a whole family would eat. He'd put away three of them. Or how many slices of bacon that he could put down. 10 eggs. I actually saw this guy, Big Jim. He was 285, 6'6", strongest amongst us, big dude. I watched him put down 16 pieces of bacon, about 6 pieces of toast, and a whole bunch of eggs. And that was just normal for him. I mean, these guys were big. And then he had two cousins. I don't know what they did, but man, they always looked mean. I don't think they had any necks. I think they were born without necks. It just had a head on a shoulder, about 400 pounds each, easily 400 pounds. Then there was this guy named Tommy, and he was rough. He was tough. All these guys were in the same connected family. And I had a car, and the car was these guys were so heavy that they crushed the seats down, so I took all the seats out, and I put these cushions that you sit in. And so one evening we go out to, I don't know why I'm telling you this, I just remember this. We go out after a football game on a Friday night, and there's Big Tom and the Laiotti brothers in the back seat, and there's two Toms, and I'm in the front seat driving, and they're all kind of, because there's no seats, all you see is they're like their nose and their eyes. We pull up in the service station, and these yokels from Bluefield, looking, and I went out to get the gas. And one of the guys said, "What are you looking at?" And I said, "Nothing." He says, "What do you mean?" So, and here they go, you know, hot dog, and they jump out, and one of the guys got this tire wrench, and he comes over, and he whacks the front of my car. And I said, "I wouldn't do that." He said, "Yeah, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "Trust me, fellas, get back in your car and just go away." "No, you know, what are you afraid of?" I said, "I'm not afraid of anything." And at that point, about four of them got out. And at that point, all these guys got out. These are bruisers. These guys are mean. I guess the average weight was about 350 pounds, and these guys were fighters. And suddenly all these guys from Bluefields took a look when these guys got out of the car, and the car rose about 4 feet. And they came around, and they just took this guy's car and, boom, pushed it over. Now said, "Now, next time you open your mouth, now you get a little crazy, think there's a consequence." Fortunately, I talked him out of beating these guys up. Otherwise, these guys come back with a lot of bruises. Anyhow, but these guys thought nothing of putting away two 16-ounce steaks. I don't know if any of them are still alive. I doubt it. But no one ever questioned the amount of protein you put in your body, as long as you were big. And if you were big, you had to be tough. Everybody was known how tough they were. Isn't it stupid, the things you remember about growing up in a small town, how you were identified, what made you special? Not your brain, not your talents, your body weight. Anyhow, stay away from the processed meat. Now, for those who care about reducing your blood sugar, and I'm sure many people in this audience do, Michael Downey wrote a very interesting piece that I wrote the other day, I read the other day, and he's talking about how many people in America are suffering now from being overweight, and the number's staggering. It's 1.5 billion, that's with a B, billion. Now here's the problem. You've heard me say this many times, let me emphasize it again. You cannot be overweight and be healthy. It is not possible. Because the moment you're overweight, you have inflammatory agents, homocysteine, fibrinogen, LDL, cholesterol, C-reactive protein, all these inflammatory markers you can't feel. They're elevated. When they're elevated, you have a greater risk of dying. But just being overweight means that you have a 300% risk of death compared to normal wearing waiting people. The average, this is an average, amount of years that you will die ahead of everyone else because you're fat, 10 years. That's right, compared to normal weight people. For every 33 extra pounds, the risk of early death increases by 30%. So please get the weight off and get your kids on diets because you're going to kill them. In fact, for the first time, we'll have young people dying before their parents. Now, here's some good news that can help us inhibit the process behind obesity. It's a way of helping to stimulate our biochemistry and impact metabolic disease itself, and not merely just in a light way, but I mean in a major way. It's green coffee bean extract. Now, I'm not talking about drinking a cup of coffee. This is only about the organic green bean, coffee bean, that there are chemicals in it that will reduce increases in body fat and blood glucose levels. And it is called chlorogenic acid. And it's very important, and it inhibits the absorption of calories. The green coffee bean extract also works along multiple pathways to reduce body fat and glucose levels. You don't need a lot of it, but it's helped a lot of people. So without changing even consumption of calories or protein or carbohydrate, there was a remarkable 37% reversed their pre-obesity status back to normal range in one study that I saw. So that's important. And you can get it in any health food store without any problems. And finally, for those of you who are concerned about berries, and I believe we should be consuming a lot more berries, I believe blueberries are right up at the top of the list. Wild blueberries are phenomenal, too. Why? Let's make it simple. Because the more berries you consume, the better it is for your brain. And also, it's important in caloric restriction. Blueberry extracts help maintain healthy blood flow, and it helps maintain a normal LDL and endothelial function. Now, the two most active constituents found in blueberries are anthocyanins and stilbene, and these are helping us rebalance our biochemistry, trapping free radicals and balancing our lipid and glucose levels. So I'm hopeful that you'll be having your blueberries or blueberry concentrates every single day. Now, I mentioned I would help people today, and I will, and then we're going to take a break and go to our calls, to deal with cognitive function. I was in a restaurant a couple nights ago, and I was sitting there having a bit to eat. And a friend came by and said, he was with the person who kind of manages his business. And we had a conversation. In the conversation, five separate times, I was asked the same question by my friend. And five separate times I gave the same answer to my friend. I then, before we got up, I said, have you been to a neurologist? Have you had any biochemical test to determine your cognitive ability? No, why should I? My mind's fine. And therein is the problem. So when he went outside, I asked his friend and his personal assistant, I said, how long has this been going on? He said, for over a year and a half, and it's getting worse. And I said, How much of a decline have you seen? He said, what you just saw, Gary? He said, this is happening every day, all the time. And it's getting to where he can't function anymore. That's the problem with loss of cognitive function. You're not aware of it because you don't remember what you've forgotten. But other people can notice this. This is an epidemic in our society. Absolutely an epidemic. And it's only going to get worse. Why? Because we have 93 million of us over 47. And most people's lifestyles and levels of stress and not living in harmony and not really detoxing on a regular daily basis, doing what they want to do, and then when it gets bad, they'll go do something good for themselves, but only for a short period of time. Most people relapse back into, with intent, into negative habits very quickly. Even when people lose weight, they lose weight and very determined sometimes to do that, and that's good, and then they get down to their normal weight and then start the whole process all over again. So if you know anyone who is suffering from cognitive decline, ask them to have a simple test taken for the hormone pregnenolone. Preg, P-R-E-G, nen, N-E-N, alone, O-L-O-N-E, pregnenolone. It's extremely beneficial for cognitive function, meaning our memory. In fact, I believe it's the most important memory enhancer that we have. In fact, pregnenolone is the first hormone in the pathway that generates a host of neurohormones in the brain that are known to affect nerve cell growth and to modulate various moods. And pregnenolone, according to Dr. Julia Scope, it's known to dominate our nervous system. Now, there's lots of research that prove this. It can reduce the risk of dementia, it can improve memory, and it can help us alleviate anxiety and depression. And I believe that probably half of all baby boomers right now in the United States end up suffering from cognitive dysfunction and memory loss in their lives, at least half. You have to understand the formation of memory is still one of the most phenomenal things that happen in the brain, and we're learning more about it. We don't have everything that we need to know about it. But an essential molecule that causes all this to happen is pregnenolone. And it's the starting point for the production of many other important hormones. There's strong evidence pregnenolone levels diminish with advanced age, so therefore you have to get them back up. And the conversion of cholesterol to pregnenolone constitutes the first of many steps in the synthesis of some of the body's key hormones, including DHEA, testosterone, progesterone, estrogen, and cortisol. That's why it's called the mother hormone. And pregnenolone is a vital building block. It's the very first and arguably the most versatile hormone in the cascade of molecular events. And like newly cut lumber, you can be processed into everything from building material to facial tissue. Pregnenolone's final products fill myriad essential roles in the body. It can stimulate memory via the excitatory pathway to easing anxiety through the inhibitory mechanisms. And we used to think it was only produced in the adrenal glands and the gonads, in the ovaries and the testes. Well, now we know that the central nervous system and the brain and the spinal cord also synthesize it. And the discovery of certain steroids are produced and act in the central nervous system has led to the term neurosteroids. And that's another term, neuroactive steroids. It's often used for hormones that may be manufactured elsewhere in the body but have potent actions in the nervous system. And neurosteroids and neuroactive steroids can have powerful effects on how individual nerve cells function. So let's make sure that we have a memory, get tested for pregnenolone, and also get tested for other neuroactive steroids that can protect your brain cells against long-term damage that can lead to Alzheimer's and dementia. And remember, if you don't do anything, your levels will absolutely decline. Now, keep in mind that when I was growing up, and many of you were growing up, our parents never took a supplement, except an iron tablet. But outside of that, never did they think anything in the aging process could be reversed. And indeed, it never was in anyone I knew because no one ever did anything. If they smoked, they smoked until they died. If they drank, they drank until they died. And most people drank and smoked and ate garbage and didn't exercise. I never will forget the time that I came home from college and my mom had cut her hair and frosted it. I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, I've got to look my age." I said, "Why?" Well, because, you know, when I go down to, you know, beauty parlor, and everybody looks a certain way when they hit, you know, a 40. And I said, so what? Let them look 40. Let them look 80. You know, you have this long black hair, and it's natural, and it's not white. So why cut it and why frost it? It was kind of this ugly purple crap that, I don't know. Man, it's like someone got on speed and spray painted. And my mom and I used to run together, and she was a good athlete. And her hair was, you know, down to her shoulders, and always had beautiful hair. And she kept herself in shape by running. And then she stopped running, and I said, why aren't you running? Well, you know, because it, you know, you'll stand out. Yeah, you'll stand out while they're laying in a casket. Better to stand out and be considered eccentric than to be dead. But, you know, where I grew up, everybody adapted. And so there was never that case of someone that was a model, an example, who broke ranks. I don't remember anyone who didn't smoke. Not everyone drank, but everyone smoked. Everywhere. Could you imagine the damage that that caused to all of us who were the kids of the seniors today? And the, think of the damage that happened to us from all that. Anyhow, change wasn't normal, so we didn't have it. But today we do have it. Today we can revitalize the brain. We don't have to get old the way we have in the past on any level. We have the science on our side now. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take your calls now. Our number, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Broadcasting today on our TalkBack program, your opportunity to call in and share your points of view. We have so many powerful programs lined up in the next week. You won't want to miss them, especially our big special coming up on another look by the real experts on what happened at 9/11. And also this week, we're going to be talking with some people who are doing some great research in the area of adding 20 to 30 years onto our lifespan. That's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. And also I have this week, I have Chris Hedges tomorrow, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bowman the next day. He's a powerful person in his field. Dr. Timothy Eastman, he's interesting. Wait till you hear about their background and what they have to share that no one knows before. Some brand new information. So, and Barbara Honegger, former White House policy analyst, special assistant to the president on domestic policy, great investigator, going to tell us some things we didn't know. We've got all these different people coming up this week. And Gerald Salante coming up as well. Let's say hello to Lou Ann. Hi, Lou Ann. Luann, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Yeah, I got an interesting email, very similar to what you were just talking about. It really is very nice to get emails like this. This is a Thomas from Boston. He says, I was born and raised on Long Island, and my mom listened to you, and that is why I was never vaccinated, and I was born naturally. And he says, at 48 years old, my mom is outstandingly healthy. She looks 10 years younger than her actual age, and she still listens to you. She never misses a show. On the other hand, for the longest time, my dad did not listen to you, and he developed high blood pressure, and they put him on medications, and of course, within a few months, he started getting all the side effects of them. One of them was loss of libido, and that really got his attention, and he just decided he didn't want to do this anymore. So after complaining to my mom, they sat down and they watched your DVD, Reversing Heart Disease and Stroke Naturally. And he agreed to try your protocol for 2 months. And over those 2 months, he weaned himself off of his medication. He went on your protocol. And as of this past Saturday, his blood pressure is normal. His libido is back. And all of his biochemistries are normal. So I guess he says to his mother that there's some truth to this Gary Null after all. So he says, thank you for helping my mother to help my father. And he adds, he said you'd be amazed at how sickly most college students are, and even the postgraduate students as well. And he comments that his generation is probably has the worst diet in American history. And it just seems that everybody just keeps doing what everybody else is doing and not questioning the toxic diet that they're eating. And he's not sure that any of them would be open to a radical change. In their mind's eye, his diet is a radical change. So he's asking you, how can you help my generation if we are even capable of being helped? And he adds a little caveat to that. He says, P.S., what do you see the future of non-commercial television and radio to be? And he specifically asked, why has Pacifica become so limited in its audience and its fund drives? And that's Thomas from Boston.
Well, there's a whole lot there to address. I'll start with the obvious. Are you familiar with the great American humorist and man of common sense, a real populist called Will Rogers?
Yes.
Will Rogers said, everybody is ignorant only on different subjects. And today, what we have is we are only allowed one truth, official truth. And official truth refuses to acknowledge its own ignorance on anything. So it deals in pure illusion with everything. So every Sunday, for example, when you have the talking heads appear on television, you'll look, they're from the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, and the New American Century Foundation, all these different foundations, of which there are thousands. And most of those foundations were started by very wealthy people like the Koch brothers, have over 300 different foundation and think tanks alone just in education. And they have them in a lot of their areas as well. For example, they fund a foundation where you're paid to deny global warming. And then they get scientists and professors of good reputation who agree to say that global warming cannot be proven to be man-made and it's not as bad as people tell us. And nobody ever knows any of this because nobody questions the person's background when they appear to tell us something as if they're an expert. And we never ask, are you paid to be here? If so, by whom? Do you have a political or an educational or ideological limitation? If so, what is it? What are you here to tell us? And why are you here? And who are you really speaking for? And if that was ever the case, 99% of all the people on the left and the right would simply cease to exist because they would seem to be so compromised. Hence, they're utterly ignorant. So on the left, for example, you have people doing radio shows that don't have large audiences, but people are respected on the left. But they're pro-vaccine. They're pro-everything HIV. They'll never question any part of it at all. Not that they don't have the intellect not to understand when there's contradictions. They do, clearly. But they also know they don't want to run into that buzzsaw. because behind all these movements are funders. And the funders, the relatively small number of men and women who tell a foundation like the Gates Foundation, if you're into genetic engineering, we'll fund you. If you're into giving drugs to people in Africa, we'll fund you. If you're into sterilizing the population in Africa in their vaccines by giving them contraceptives because we don't believe that they deserve the same rights as others to live and be a part of our population, a new form of eugenics, we'll fund you. But where are the people getting funded if they just want to tell the truth on something? The journalists who just want to tell the truth, there are very few places to get that funding. And there are very few places that you can be authentic if your authenticity runs counter to official wisdom. Now, that said, so that answers two questions. On the one hand, the father denied the virtue of the wife's experience for, what, 20 years, did I hear? So for years, the mother is healthy, doesn't look her age, doesn't get sick, is in outstanding health, because she's following healthy living. The husband, who should be closest to this and most open and most sensitive to what his wife's doing and actually support her, instead is condescending and is negative. So if you can't get a message to grow from your own wife when you see she's able to do something you're not, stay healthy, then what else are you in denial of? What kind of relationship is that? That's one of these premortal limbic relationships, you know, very misogynist, very anti. I just sense a whole element of anti-intellectualism. If he doesn't know something, then it couldn't be that anyone else knows it because he's not ignorant on anything. And generally what you have is the more educated someone is, the more difficult it is to have a conversation with them. In fact, it's virtually impossible to have intelligent conversations with many of our advanced educated people because they're purely to defend what they know. Because their career, their ego, their self-esteem is all tied up in the illusion they've sold us. Oh, if we only give more money and wear a pink ribbon, we'll overcome AIDS. No, that's not the case. Do you want to know about the 3,000 scientists, including Nobel Prize winners, who say that everything we're doing about AIDS is wrong? Oh, no, we don't want to hear about them. Okay, so we won't. Do you want to hear about all the people who promise us things that never happen and get $1 trillion in the process? Yes. That's how stupid we become. And now the new torchbearers of this stupidity, this indoctrination, this dumbing down is the newest generation. So do I see any hope for them? Nope. Do I see the jobs coming back to America? Nope. Do I see that the manufacturing centers are going to open up? Well, Bloomberg just yesterday said jobs data show U.S. factories bearing brunt of slowdown. I see. So of the jobs that we do have, they lost 15,000 workers in factories. Now, the likelihood is if you worked in a factory, you may have at least been making decent money or at least a living wage. So the factory closes down because it's cheaper to have it made elsewhere. So there's no loyalty. So when they talk about how patriotic they are and how nationalistic they are in their fervor, they don't talk about every time you outsource jobs to another country, that's non-patriotism. That's smacking America in the face. But both the left and the right do this every day. They close factories, they outsource jobs, and then they say, okay, we need to make a profit, so we're going to make a profit. We're going to have someone making 14 cents an hour to sew a dress in Bangladesh, $1 an hour in India, and $1 an hour in China. Now, you beat that in the United States, and we'll buy your dress again. Do you know anyone willing to work for $1 an hour or 14 cents an hour in the United States to make anything? No, and they shouldn't. But if they don't, someone else is going to make what they didn't make or did make and at a living wage now can't. And so all those people going off to college or in college or out of college and their parents, where do they go buy their stuff? They go to Walmart. More people shop at Walmart than any other store in the world. Even their organic produce is being bought there. And that doesn't have the same standards as the organic produce many of us would otherwise be purchasing. And where do those 90% of everything Walmart sells comes from? China. And we know about the crappy quality of everything from China. from their body politics of fascism, taking to an extreme, to the crappy quality of their products and the ripping off of everyone and their human rights abuses. And yet nothing is done because we go to them to borrow money. Now, this is a part of the world we live in. So why do we choose to be ignorant on all this? Because if we woke up and were honest and became educated in how the world really works, most people wouldn't go to college today because there won't be an education waiting them. Most, not all, but most won't have an education. And then when they go to get a job, they're going to find the only jobs available are the jobs most people get. Restaurant jobs, hotel jobs, working in, you know, box stores, but nothing where you can actually make a living wage and support a family. So that is the type of dynamic that the young are facing. And do they look at it? A small percentage do. But I'm talking about under 1%. So here's the irony. The 1% of empowered young people are looking at the world as it really is, and 99% of the young people are looking at the world as they were told it should be or as they hope it will be, but it never will be. So nothing's coming back. The environment's not coming back. The clean skies are not coming back. The non-acid rain water's not coming back. The turbidity of our lakes are not going to reverse. The giant, the size of New Jersey, dead zones at the bottom of the Mississippi is not coming back. The healthy soil's not coming back. The polluted cities today are not going to reverse and become nice metropolitan areas. The pristine suburbs where you could have a safe and comfortable living to raise your family, that's not coming back. Factories are not coming back. So once you understand what's not coming back, then at least that generation can get real about what it has to do. And three of the worst sources for the future are Facebook and Google and Yahoo, because they're turning over files to the federal agencies and allowing stuff to be done that we're not even aware of. And if you doubt me, listen to the latest. Let me just share this with you. This is from RT. It says, no shooting at protests. Police may block mobile devices via Apple. Quote, Apple has patented a piece of technology which would allow government and police to block transmission of information, including video and photographs, from any public gathering or venue they deem sensitive and protected from externalities. In other words, these powers will have control over what can and cannot be documented on wireless devices during any public event. And while the company says the affected sites are to be mostly cinemas, theaters, concerts, and similar locations, Apple Inc. also says, quote, covert police and government operations may require complete blackout conditions. Additionally, Apple says, quote, the wireless transmission of sensitive information to a remote source is one example of a threat to security. Okay, so now let's say that we're Occupy Wall Street with some actual grown-ups involved. And they see something that's wrong, and you want to take a picture of it, and you want to share that. Blocked. You see a cop beating to death someone who's innocent. You want to film it. Blocked. You want to report on something as a whistleblower, blocked. One step closer to complete censorship, and that's not going to get less, that's going to get worse. So with the adulteration of our food by genetic engineering, the adulteration of our mind with most of radio and television, and especially non-commercial radio and television, with few exceptions, it's dying for a simple reason. The programming stinks. These people are programming as if this is 1976 and Watts. It's not. A whole lot's gone on, and we refuse to grow up. And as a result, you have these aging audiences, small, loyal audiences, incapable of supporting a station. And secondly, all these stations, the NPR, the PBSs, the Pacifica, all of them are going to disappear if they're not subsidized. Do you think that NPR would even exist today if the founder of McDonald's hadn't given the wife given him a $500 million gift? No, They don't know how to function in the real world. These are dilettantes. We don't need these land-based stations anymore. Enormous overhead. So we have to downsize all this in order to make life possible. Now, does that mean that I'm not positive about our survival? I'm absolutely not positive about anyone who believes only in the official truths of surviving anything. You know, they're not going to survive what's coming at them. They're not going to survive if it's a bad, you know, solar storm. They're not going to be prepared for it. They're not going to survive an earthquake. They're not prepared for it. They're not going to survive going off the dollar and having a drop in our currency if they're not prepared for it. They're not surviving, you know, with mortgages that are underwater and they continue to believe somehow it's going to come back. It's not. You know, they're not prepared for it. But for those people who do prepare, those people who have their head up and looking out at what's at them and not blinking and not altering it, those people have a future. I believe that we are going to go through an enormous social breakdown where everything collapses in the United States because we don't have a single legitimate institution of any kind that represents truth in existence today. Not one. So it's not, are these all going to collapse? Because when you live by illusion, you end up being affected by illusion. It was F. Somerset Maugham who said, it is dangerous to let the public behind the scenes. They are easily disillusioned, and then they are angry with you, for it was the illusion they loved. So we love the illusion that the people in power care about us. They don't. That the media are objective and fair, they're never. That we're being told the truth, not at all. That the money that is being given will bail us out, it won't. And so where does that leave us? It leaves us at a great opportunity to finally break free from our conditioned self and to live an authentic life. And there are millions and millions of people doing that right now. So it is not a few, it is not even a few million, it is tens of millions, probably 30 million Americans, about one-tenth the American population are really getting it together. And that's where the future is. But I say this, and I'll stand behind this, you must have a breakdown in this society before you ever break through, because the power that is in control will not relinquish that power, nor secede their ignorance on any topic, nor their authoritative, nor their draconian efforts, nor will the massive corrupt bureaucracies, none of that will change. So, we cannot change them until we stop supporting them. Hope that answers your question. We're out of time. Yep. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Gary Nall. Stay tuned for Michael Rupert, who's on live today. Hi, Michael.
It's amazing how this works with us sometimes, but where you're leaving off right now at the end of your show is like the perfect place where I intend to pick up with what I'm going to talk about tonight. There is a new consciousness emerging. Emergence is a key thing in the change of the ages. And I'm seeing a lot of hope in that there are new ways to live and survive this mess without getting caught up in it. And I'm learning about all this from people in their 20s. They're going to be our great teachers.
Some will.
Some will. You're right.
Some. I don't be too optimistic in how many that some is. Michael, we're always interested in what you have on, so we'll all be standing by and listening to you. And don't forget, everyone, we have never seen a program that has developed an audience so quickly as Utrice Leeds' program, coming on every day at 1 o'clock following mine. And we intentionally did what we call a soft opening, just so she had a chance to work out the technical glitches and feel comfortable after 12 years of getting back on the radio. Whoa. We were unprepared for how many people just tried to get on to listen over the telephone alone. Her audience is already in the thousands. So she's on every day, Monday to Friday. Utrice Leeds back on the radio where she belongs. She was there for 22 years on Talkback. Now she's back on Progressive Radio Network every day at 1. Stay tuned for Michael Rupert. He's out there and somewhere. We don't know where, but we'll be hearing from him in about 60 seconds.